And now, stories from the history of Greater India, the divine Mahabharata. Anyone who bathes himself in the nectar of these tales will emerge with greater courage, stronger will, and a purer heart.
The title of today's show, Lord Krishna and His Family Members Leave the Earth Planet. Thirty-six years had gone by since the Battle of Kurukshetra, and it was the 36th year of the rule of Yudhisthira. He saw in the heavens the same evil omens that were seen to occur just before the Great War. These portents spoke of some great calamity that was waiting to befall them. But Yudhisthira did not know what was to happen. He felt that some great destruction was imminent. He could not guess what it was to be. He could only guess that something terrible was to happen very soon. Lord Krishna saw these omens too. He sensed the destruction of the Vrishni house. The curse of Gandhari had to be fulfilled, and this curse was coupled by another curse. Once, when the sages Vishvamitra, Kanva, and Narada had come to Dwaraka, the young men of the family of Vasudev tried to play a practical joke on the holy men who had come. They dressed one of their companions, Samba, as a woman and took him to the rishis. The youngsters asked them,
Excuse us, great rishis. We have brought a woman here. She's expecting a child, as you can see from her big belly. And we know that you sages are expected to have foresight. Is it possible for you to look into the future and tell us whether the child of this young lady will be a boy or a girl?
The rishis, strangely lacking in that virtue called sense of humor, were actually very angry because of the joke. They said,
"This woman, as you call him, will give birth to an iron lump. That lump will be the cause of the destruction of the entire house of the Vrishnis."
The young men were horrified at what they had done. They tried their best to pacify the sages, but they could not. It was a dreadful future that had been predicted. Samba did give birth to an iron lump. The boys went to Lord Krishna and Balaram and told them the whole story, and Lord Balaram was very upset. He ordered that the lump be crushed to powder, and the powder was thrown into the sea. They thought that they had managed to outwit fate. Everyone had forgotten the incident, everyone except Lord Krishna.
Thirty-six years after the great Kurukshetra war, Krishna saw the dreadful portents written in the skies. He knew that it meant the destruction of the entire family. But he was unmoved. It was time, after all, for him to leave the world, having accomplished his mission. This was the last thing he had to see before he left the world, where he had been born to cleanse it of his sins. The fourth quarter of time, the Kali Yuga, had already set foot. Krishna could see that men were beginning to lose their sense of Dharma, religion. He would incarnate again, many millennium henceforward, when Kali was about to end. In the meantime, he had to stay a little while longer so that the curse of Gandhari could be fulfilled. He looked at his own people. They were heading for the final quarrel, which was to destroy them all. Only they could destroy themselves. No outside influence could harm them.
Thank you. One day, as was their usual custom, the entire family set out to the place called Prabhakshetra Tirtha for the worship of Shankara. It was a very happy group of people. Krishna remembered the time they went to Prabhas several years back. It was when Arjun was in the garden of Subhadra. Krishna had arranged for their elopement, and he had brought away his brother and the others to Prabhas, so that it might be easy for the young lovers to run away unheeded. What a distance of time had been covered since then. This was to be their final trip to Prabhas. They would never go there any more. Lord Krishna was now impatient for the end to come. The caravan of chariots and other vehicles proceeded towards the pleasure spot, Prabhas. They reached Prabhas, and tents were pitched, and all were installed in their individual tents for the night. The next day was spent in games of all kinds. There was great feasting, and it went on for a number of days. One day, after this feasting and drinking, they were all talking about old events. Kritavarma was there. Satyaki became intoxicated, and so were the others. Suddenly, Satyaki took it into his head to insult Kritavarma. Ever since he joined the side of Duryodhan in the Great War, Satyaki bore him a grudge. He had never forgiven him that, and he decided to taunt him. It was the drink which made him do it, and it was also the course of fate. Satyaki brought the conversation round to the war and said,
I am yet to see a Kshatriya who can kill people who are sleeping, who can set fire to the camp of the enemy like a common thief and then run away to his country, afraid to face the consequences of his act.
These words made Kritavarma wild with fury. He was also drunk. He brought up the subject of the killing of Burishravas, and people began to take sides and fight. It was a drunken brawl. The great house of the Vrishnis had created this ceremony themselves. Krishna was watching all the while. He saw his son Pradyumna take the side of Satyaki. Satyaki sprang at Kritavarma and said,
Today I will avenge the death of the best man that fought in the great war, Drishtadyumna.
Satyaki then cut off the head of Kritavarma, and the brawl became a fight. Those who had no weapons took up the weeds that were growing along the seashore and fought with each other. The weeds had all sprung up from the powdered lump of iron which was destined to be the destruction of the house of Vrishnis. Krishna saw Satyaki killed, and he saw his son Pradyumna also killed. He knew that there had nothing more to remain for. There was nothing more left. Krishna took up handfuls of the weeds himself and threw it all at those who were fighting. Each weed became a terrible weapon, and the weeds were scattered everywhere. The whole crowd was destroyed in a matter of a few moments, and it was destroyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself. His face had assumed a dreadful aspect. He was death personified. All were dead now, except Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, and Daruka. Balaram was not to be found there. Daruka and Krishna went in search of him. They found him near the shore of the sea, leaning against a tree. Disgusted with the drunken brawl, Balaram had already left the place and reached the seashore. He had decided to give up his life, and he was sitting in yoga trance. Lord Krishna saw him and said,
Daruka, go at once to Hastinapur. Tell my dear Arjun about the happenings at Prabhas. Tell Yudhisthira also everything. Tell him about the moral degradation of the Vrishni house. Tell them that the heroes had become so deteriorated that a drunken brawl was enough to destroy them. Tell him about the curse of the Rishis and of Gandhari. Bring Arjun as early as you can to Dwarka and ask him to take care of the women and children. Ask him to come soon.
It was with a heavy heart that Daruka bade farewell to Lord Krishna and set out towards Hastinapur. Krishna hurried to his brother and said,
Brother, wait for me. I will go back to Dwarka and leave the women and children with our father. I will come back, and then we can leave together.
Lord Krishna went back to Dwarka. He went to his father Vasudeva and said,
Father, I have sent for Arjuna to come here. He will take charge of everything when he arrives, and he's expected to come soon. I have to return to the spiritual world. Balaram is waiting for me, and I have now to go to him. I cannot look on this Dwarka fort without my people. Balaram and I are bent on renunciation and austerities.
Lord Krishna fell at the feet of his father. He would not look back. He walked away as fast as he could, and he reached the spot where his dear brother was waiting for him. Lord Balaram saw him and went into a trance, and Lord Krishna stood by and waited and watched. He saw an immense white serpent coming from the mouth of Lord Balaram, came out and disappeared into the ocean. It is said that Lord Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu, and that Balaram is the incarnation of Sesha, the serpent which is the bed of Lord Vishnu. Krishna saw Sesha issuing out of the mouth of Balaram. He knew that his time had come to leave. It was evening now. Krishna roamed about, lost in thought. He had reached the end of his stay on earth. He had achieved all that he came to achieve. His mind went back to the days at Gokula, his childhood. He thought of Yashoda, his foster mother, and his thoughts hovered about Radha as a bee would round a flower laden with honey. Lord Krishna brushed the memory away. His mind now went to Mathura, where he had killed the tyrant Kamsa. The years rolled on like waves of the sea, which he was seeing with unseeing eyes. His thoughts rested on the Pandavas. He thought of his first meeting with the Pandavas. Then came the many incidents of their pain-filled lives, then the war, the destruction of the Kshatriyas of the world. Then came the death of Duryodhana and the curse of Gandhari. Lord Krishna had to live to see it fulfilled. He thought of the dead child of Abhimanyu and his own self giving life to it. To the last, he had guarded the Pandavas. He had only one regret, that he could not meet Arjuna once more. Suddenly, his face was lit up by a sweet smile. He could melt into his dream and speak to him, and Lord Krishna sat down in a trance. He touched the mind of Arjuna with his own. He felt that Arjuna's mind had been drawn by the power of his, and he was glad for it. Arjuna was sitting alone in his apartments. He was suddenly reminded of Krishna. He felt that Lord Krishna spoke to him and said,
Arjuna, lie down, Arjuna. I want to talk to you.
Arjuna did as he was bid. At once he fell into a deep sleep, and Lord Krishna melted into his dream as he had done years ago on the night of Abhimanyu's death. Lord Krishna took his hands in his and said,
Arjuna, do you remember my telling you once that everything in this world is born to serve a purpose? The next moment after having done so, it must depart this world.
And Arjuna replied,
Yes, Krishna. You said it when my chariot was burnt after the war. You also said...
And Krishna intervened and said,
Yes, I said that it is even so with men. Each man is set on this strange, eventful journey called life. He has been sent into this world with a purpose, and once that purpose is served, the earth has no more need of him. It is the case with all of us. I have invented myself on this earth for a purpose. It's almost fulfilled. Something still remains. The moment it is over, however, I will depart also, and eventually so will you and your brothers. Arjuna, do you remember our talking about all that?
Arjun replied,
Yes, my lord, I do remember it.
And Krishna continued,
Arjun, I wanted to tell you that the purpose of my stay here has been fulfilled. I'm leaving. You must follow me soon. We can never be away from each other for long.
Arjun told him,
Krishna, my lord, what is this you are saying? I cannot grasp what you are saying.
Lord Krishna laughed gently and said,
My dearest friend, I wanted to see you just once before going away. I have seen you. I have no regrets. As for the meaning of my words, you will understand tomorrow when Daruka comes.
The dewy smile was illuminating the face of Lord Krishna. He was smiling just that smile when he faded away from the dream of Arjun. Lord Krishna now walked with slow and hesitant steps. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could leave as his brother did. He could just give up his breath by yoga. But this incarnation of his was that of a man. He had told Arjun once that he would act in accordance with the role he was playing. He had to appear to die like a man and not like a saint. There had to be something to cause his death. Pondering on this, Lord Krishna lay down on the ground and went into a deep sleep. There was a hunter in the neighborhood. He was passing by with a bow and arrow, and he looked at the sleeping form of the Lord. From a distance, Krishna looked like some young animal sleeping. Actually, the hunter thought that it was a deer because of the rich yellow silk which Lord Krishna was wearing. The hunter took careful aim and set the arrow. It entered the body of Krishna through the sole of his foot. The great Durvas had granted Lord Krishna a boon. He had granted him invulnerability all over the body except for the soles of his feet. The arrow of the hunter entered the body of Lord Krishna through the one vulnerable part of his body. Once this hunter was passing along the shore of the sea and his foot tripped against something. He stooped and saw that it was a piece of iron. He took it in his hand and saw that it would make a beautiful arrowhead, and he fixed it on his arrow. The piece of iron was a portion of the iron lump which had been powdered and thrown into the sea, and that was the arrow which had entered the foot of Lord Krishna. The hunter hurried to the side of Krishna. Instead of a deer, he found a man dressed in beautiful golden silk. He was horrified at what he had done, but Lord Krishna smiled at him and said,
My dear man, you have done me a great favor. You have solved for me my final problem, how to leave this world. Go in peace, my friend. You will reach the heavens for this your act.
Lord Krishna ascended to the heavens, making the earth glow with its progress. Krishna had left this world. He had served the purpose for which he came, and the earth no longer needed him. He went back to where he came from. The world was now without Krishna. It was like a body from which life had flown away. The earth was a flower which had lost its perfume. Daruka hurried towards Hastinapur. He told them all about the great tragedy at Prabhas. He told them everything. Yudhisthir, for the moment, had not remembered the curse of Gandhari. The Pandavas were numb with woe. They had suffered so much. But the thoughts of Krishna were enough to give them strength. But now there was nothing. It was not possible to think. In mute agony, Arjun got into his chariot and rushed toward Dwarka. He thought of the dream he had yesterday. Krishna had told him,
"You will understand the meaning of my words tomorrow."
Arjun knew that Lord Krishna had left the planet. His heart was frozen with shock. Soon he reached Dwarka and went to the presence of Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. He heard about the details of the tragedy that had overtaken the house of the Vrishnis. With the leaving of Krishna, the earth had lost everything that was beautiful. Arjun wanted to hurry through his task. Lord Krishna had asked him to come soon, back to the spiritual world, and Krishna would be waiting for him. He had to hurry. Arjun spent his time with his mind set on Lord Krishna's lotus feet. He thought of nothing else. In the morning, he found that Vasudev, Krishna's father, had left by going into yogic trance and abandoning his body. Dwarka was empty of everything that was dear to Arjun. Several of the wives of Lord Krishna and Balaram had ascended the funeral pyre, and it was now the duty to take the citizens and the other women and children of the family of his friend to Hastinapur and take care of them. He collected them all, and the long mournful procession began. Dwarka became empty. The sea, which had been beating against its shores, suddenly broke the boundary that was imposed on it by nature. The sea rushed into the city. It coursed through the streets of that beautiful city, and the sea covered up everything there. Even as they were looking on, Arjun saw the beautiful buildings become submerged one by one. Arjun took a last look at the mansion of Lord Krishna. It was soon covered by the sea. In a matter of a few moments, it was all over. The sea had now become as placid as a lake, and there was no trace of the beautiful city which had been the favorite haunt of all the Pandavas. Dwarka was just a name, just a memory.
Arjun went on towards Hastinapur. They would camp under the trees during the nights and resume the journey in the morning. It was the most dreadful time in Arjuna's life. He had to keep himself occupied lest he should go mad too soon. One day, during their journey through the woods, some robbers saw this huge caravan. They wanted to attack them, and they saw just one man guarding the entire party of women and children. They descended on the people of Dwarka and tried to carry away all their wealth and their women too. Arjun took up his Gandiva bow and tried to string it in a hurry. He found that he was not able to do it. He was amazed. With a great effort, he finally managed to string it, but his fingers had lost their dexterity. He was feeling it hard to use his own bow and arrows. His quivers became empty. He decided to invoke some mystical weapons and kill the robbers, but he could not remember a single incantation. He was powerless. Arjun could do nothing. The robbers had succeeded in taking away most of the wealth and the women with them. Unknown to Arjun, these robbers were incarnations of Lord Krishna, come to take back his queens to the spiritual world. Meanwhile, Arjun, with a broken heart, resumed his journey with the remnants of the caravan. He reached Hastinapur and went to the presence of Yudhisthira. He stood there for a moment, then he dropped down in a dead faint.
The mental effort of the last few days had been too much for Arjun. He was revived with perfumed water. And when he woke up from the faint, with great sobs racking his frame, he told them about how he burnt the dead forms of Lord Balaram, Satyaki, and Krishna. He told them everything. He told them about the sea, claiming the beautiful city of Dwarka, the story of the robbers and the failing of the Gandiva bow to frighten a mere band of robbers, which was the final tragedy. The five brothers sat still. They were all thinking of the same thing. Arjun told them about the dream when Lord Krishna took leave of him. Their tears would not flow. Everything inside them had died the instant when they heard about Krishna's departure. There was nothing left to live for in the world. Lord Krishna had returned to the spiritual sky. There was no meaning in living anymore. They lost interest in everything. Yudhisthira said,
Arjun, it is now time for us to leave also. We are now bereft of everything that was dear to us. With the leaving of Krishna, our lives should end too.
And Arjun replied,
Yes, my lord, it is time who is the ultimate victor.
Hearing these words of Yudhisthira and Arjun, Nakula, Sahadeva, and Bhima agreed with them. The Pandavas decided to leave the earth and set out on their final journey. Yudhisthira made all the necessary arrangements. He crowned the young Parikkit as the king. Vyutsu was appointed as his guardian and Kripa his guru. The Pandavas announced to the people of the city that they had decided to renounce everything and set out toward the spiritual world. No one could stop them. They were firm in their resolution. The Pandavas were ready for the great journey. Clad in tree barks and deerskin, they stood in front of the palace door, taking final leave of their citizens. Draupadi, dressed in tree bark and without her jewels and silks, stood by their side. The city set up a wail of woe. The Pandavas looked the same as they did years back when they were exiled from Hastinapur. But it was different now. A strange peace had entered their souls. Their faces were glowing with an inward light. They bade farewell to Hastinapur and set on their journey.